Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. Second time we're trying to do this introduction as Matt didn't switch his mic on the first time.
For 10 minutes.
It was really high quality, but you guys will never know. So
you'll never know how good it was. We'll try and replicate it straight away. But I'll say hello to Alan. We're in your flat. Thanks for having us over.
That's all right. Don't worry.
Yeah, little Alan Jacobson the cat growing an awful lot.
I know.
It's a lot more agile than Alan Jacobson. You know, think about a different name as she gets a bit bigger and...
Well, isn't the cat next door called Nonu?
The cat next door is actually called Nonu. So I don't know. Maybe Rob Dewey?
Maybe Rob Dewey. Ben Hinshelwood?
Yeah.
Like
sounds
that.
Good.
Yeah.
But no, she's letting her outside now, causing trouble.
Causing trouble in the local neighbourhood.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a little segue. Thank you very much for coming back. We've been off for the last couple of weeks. Alan was on holiday, so we've not been doing much podding. We'll get into the news in a little bit. Just remind you quickly how you can get in touch with us. That's on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod, on Instagram Thistle_Rugby_Pod, or send us an email thistlerugby@gmail.com. Why don't we start with GHK, who seem to have struck gold or something. They're signing big names for their coaching staff next year all over the place. Peter Wright coming from Baromir, Kevin Bryce joining as a player coach, and Xander Fagerson signing up to help them out as well. What the hell is going on at Old Annie's Land, Matt?
Well, I don't really know, because I maybe thought when I first heard it that a bit more attention was being paid to GHK as being like the, you know, an eventual Super Six side.
Yeah.
Because the SOU have still said that they want to expand it to like 8 and 10 teams eventually.
Yeah.
So there's obviously like there should be space for a Glasgow team. But at the same time, Glasgow Hawks have been like doing a big recruitment drive this summer and getting some pretty decent young players in. I imagine Peter Wright wasn't really, you know, a favourite for the Super Six post at Baromir.
Yeah.
It's like, we want you to buy into the SRU style of playing.
Yeah.
Like, how about you fuck off?
Yeah.
Just buy into the SRU full stop.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Absolutely not. Exactly. Thank you very much.
Yeah, maybe it just felt like sort of a club on the up. You've got the likes of Kevin Bryce and Ferguson getting involved. You think, I could actually like take them up through the leagues.
Kevin Bryce playing in Prem 3?
It's like genuinely dangerous.
Like, he's too big for that.
He's way too big and powerful. You're playing against like young, like...
Yeah, it'd be like 17, 18-year-old
yeah,
kids
exactly.
Like straight out of school.
Yeah, exactly.
I've played that level and I'm terrible. I get murdered.
Imagine having to tackle Kevin Bryce.
Can do it.
You've got quite a lot of weight behind you, though, to be fair.
That is true, but it's weak weight.
Yeah, that's true.
There's
it's sort of useless mass.
Yeah.
It can't generate any power.
A heavy mass with no core.
He's like, and then Kevin Rice is like twice as big as you, and it is all power.
Yeah.
Sure, well,
he used to put up videos on his Instagram and think of like the weights he could lift in the gym. He was an absolute animal.
It's surprising with Kevin Rice because he's only 30.
Yeah.
So you would have thought that there is a championship club, but I guess maybe he's just like, you know what, I can do this kind of part-time coaching job and then just work. And
I think he's a lecky, by all accounts. So I think he wants to, or a joiner maybe, but I think he wants to keep doing that. And actually he like sees that as his career. So keep your hand in with the rugby and then like keep working on that. Maybe it's a bit more attractive lifestyle.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And also Glasgow Ackies. Rui Jackson's going over there to do a bit of coaching. Nice bit of another little string to his bow, adding it to his gin career.
I think DTH not gone to a club as well.
Yeah,
I can't remember who. I wonder if it's like a
don't bring these things up in the middle of
no,
the news.
No, I just suddenly thought of it. I wonder if it's like a sort of directive from Glasgow Warriors, like going out into the community, helping people if you want to. And
they do seem that quite a few of them are doing bits and pieces.
Potentially,
yeah.
You improve a bit as a player if you coach people. But I think as well, Rui Jackson's brother, I think, or some sort of a relative of his, is the coach at Glasgow Ackies, so makes sense. And then Tommy Spink's going there as well from Ayr, which is pretty interesting in the context of Super Six player movement.
Yes.
And I think it's surprising in a sense because you think he would have stayed at Ayr maybe, but it's also not surprising when you sort of think that this is a guy with, like, I think, by all accounts, a pretty decent career and pretty settled in Glasgow.
Yeah.
Sort of stepping up to make rugby like a semi-professional part of his life is quite a big commitment, really, for a huge amount of gain.
If you do the maths, like, on average, you're not going to get paid a lot. You've got to sort of commit to, you know, a lot more training. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see other developments. I can't wait until the squads get announced. I think it's going to be so good.
It's
going to be that transfer deadline day. Jim White said he might get involved. Said he might pop in.
I would love that.
Yeah, it'd be good, wouldn't it? He'd make it exciting. Even if you had no vested interest, you'd make it.
Transfer deadline day is always really boring. It's always just like Jim White shouting down like the camera about like
a Brentford deal. It's like a Brentford deal.
Yeah, a potential loan deal in League One.
Yeah. It's like Kolo Touré might be going.
It's like, oh, the talks have broken down at the final hour.
Yeah,
he's staying at Man City on a massive wage, unsurprisingly.
We need to fill some time here. I'm going to make something up live on camera.
Yeah.
Other news. John Dalziel has stepped down as head coach of the Scotland Sevens team. He's going to be filling the gap at Glasgow as their forwards coach starting this coming season. That seems like a pretty decent move for him. Good coach. He's done well with the Sevens.
He's done okay with the Sevens. How long has he been in the Sevens job now?
2 or 3 years.
Yeah. They've sort of had a good start to the season. They've sort of tailed off.
Yeah,
a wee bit.
A little bit. But the chat is that he's a hard-edged coach. So maybe that's good.
I'd see him. I mean, that was what he was like as a player. Like,
yeah.
So it makes more sense probably that he'd be a forwards coach than a sevens coach. I think he's clearly been on like an SRU fast track.
Yeah.
That he's obviously been identified as a good coach and he's been at London Scottish, he's done under 20s, like he's done pretty much all these sort of like gigs below the Edinburgh and Glasgow. I think that, I mean,
which is good thing is,
yeah, it's good. It shows that they are giving like young guys, I mean, once again, this is someone who was a professional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like, if you have that background, you are probably more likely. I think the only thing is the timing's a bit odd because he's taking over straight away, I think.
Yes.
I mean, he's leaving Scotland Sevens right away, which, I don't know, they still have some tournaments to play.
Yeah.
And Glasgow are still in these tournaments. So I would get it if Glasgow were knocked out and it's like, right, you might as well come in and get up to speed. But does that mean like, Humphreys has no role at all in the Glasgow team? Seems a bit odd when you've potentially got like 2 games left.
I don't know.
The only thing I find a bit bizarre.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a strange one, but best of luck to him. You got any intel on who the new man in the Sevens job might be?
Well, Mark Palmer was tweeting about it. I think it was a guy called Darren McGrath, I think, who comes from a rugby league background, but I can't say I've ever heard of him.
Yeah.
And by all accounts, there is this rumor that the, what's the guy, Sean...
Sean Wynn.
Yeah, yeah. He's going to go back to rugby league.
Yeah, I've been
that rumor isn't going away.
He's made a massive impact. He's made a massive impact, to be fair to him.
Yes, Damian McGrath, a highly experienced cross-code coach, has applied for the vacancy. He has served with England Sevens, Leicester Tiger, and guided both Samoa and Canada to World Series tournament wins.
All right.
Fair enough. At least he's like a...
At least he's got pretty good creds.
Yeah.
Did you see the article the weekend about Johnny Gray? And it was like big in the Sunday Times.
Yeah.
And there was like one bit of it where he was like, I always wrap my Canvas Lang tie around the upper handle of my bag. And I was like, oh, that's quite cool. I've been trying to search photos. I don't think he does.
Like, you're calling him out.
I can't find a photo of Johnny Gray with a tie around his bag. That's all I'm saying. I'm sure he does do it, but I need proof for that.
He doesn't do many interviews, so I wonder if he sat down with like his PR manager, like, right, yeah, Johnny, what can we give them? What do you do that's quite interesting? And that was maybe like, that was his, maybe his running.
Maybe
through.
He did it once or something. Maybe he did it once, and Mark Palmer is just, you know,
who knows? Maybe that was his kind of running through fields of wheat moment.
Yeah,
he was trying to find something interesting
exactly.
to talk
yeah,
about.
Exactly, and he kind of lost it. He's like, "Oh, I shouldn't."
He's
said
like,
that.
"I just I tie my tie around my bag sometimes."
I shouldn't have said that. So, well, if anyone does see him,
yes,
with that, like, if we, it'd be great to get a photo,
Of that, yeah, or just any sort of documentary proof that yeah, Johnny exactly. Gray does do that.
Yeah.
Or else we're not going to consider it truth. Two final little bits. So Carl Hogg is leaving the under-20s after the World Cup.
Yes.
You would expect so.
Going to,
To go to be the forwards coach down at the Ospreys.
To be fair, the under-20 team lost all their games in the Six Nations.
I think they won one, didn't they?
They won.
Did they beat England?
I can't remember.
No, they did well against... They came from behind against somebody and did well. Maybe Wales. I can't remember.
It's not a particularly strong under-20 group.
Yeah.
It feels like.
Yeah.
And in their group at the under-20 World Cup, they have New Zealand and South Africa.
All right.
So I imagine Carl Hogg's like, maybe just lock down that job before the 20 World Cup.
I think it's good as well to, like, you know, kind of spread out those younger coaches and hopefully like open up a spot for someone else who's potentially deserving. So coaching is still at like a high level. So
that's a good job for him. Fair play to him. And then finally, Alex Toulis, Ben Toulis' brother, is coming back to the UK, joining London Scottish for next season.
From Kurata Watergoosh.
Kurata Watergoosh.
Yeah, one of Japan's premier.
Wait, how are you spelling goosh?
G-U-S-H.
Gosh?
I mean, I think that's gush, isn't it?
Gush?
Nobody knows.
Goosh makes it sound even worse, to be fair. So
does goosh sound better than gush? A water goosh rather than a water gush?
Oh, God.
Goosh is awful. What a horrible... It's not a word, but how bad does that sound?
Doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound good. But yes. So making the trip back. There you go.
Good for him.
He's going to come full circle.
Yeah.
He's making late run for the World Cup squad.
Wow, well, we'll get
two Toulouses in the row.
Well, we'll get onto it. Word. There is a lot of speculation.
When Townsend was talking about the extra second row spot.
Yeah, there's a space. It's not actually for Richie Gray, it's for Alex Toulis.
That Scotland rugby rep in Japan is finally going to make his paycheck. Yeah.
So you guys heard of Alex Toulis? So like, yeah.
We know him. What the hell's going on?
Ah, sorry. I thought I'd found you someone great.
Should we talk about we're a week late probably, but I'm sure people are dying to hear our take on Gregor Townsend's 42-man squad for the Rugby World Cup. I was really, really disappointed that there wasn't a name that I'd never heard of before.
No, we got to wait. There's two more spots available.
Yes. Well, the two more spots. Let's start on the two more spots. That is definitely an interesting talking point. It seems that lots of the narrative that's come out of it afterwards has been that these are sort of like closed season contests, second row, Richie Gray against Scott Cummings. And then the other spot, lots of people speculating, it's Kyle Steyn versus another possible Southern Hemisphere bolter.
Yes.
Well, I think as well, just on the second point, I think that Townsend also, I think, name checked Lee Jones and Rory Hughes.
Yes.
As potential. I'm pretty sure he did.
Somebody needs to get him the game tape of Glasgow Saracens.
I actually can't believe that Rory Hughes is even in the conversation. He's not good enough. He just isn't.
He's actually unbeaten for Scotland. 4-4, I think he is.
Rory Hughes?
Yeah, even against Australia.
Georgia, Australia.
Get him in. You can't take the stats.
Yeah.
I would love it if it was just a random bolter. But I actually don't think it's going to be.
Well, obviously we chatted a while back about Will Joran, but I just think the fact he's top try scorer in Super Rugby and he's still 20 and he is being talked about as potentially being like the wider New Zealand squad, there's just no chance that he is
Why would he?
Can you imagine if he turns down New Zealand to play for Scotland? He's like, the All Blacks are like, look, we want you. And he's like, look, I've already signed on. That would be
like, kind of like the end of the All Blacks, I think.
Yeah. People would be like, you just have to disband.
You just can't compete commercially anymore. You just have to, like, you guys are screwed.
Mark Dodson's just currently in Christchurch with a briefcase. And he's just like,
he's just walking around with, like, cash.
Yeah, just pure cash. The only other one was that I remember was chatted about last year was Sean Stevenson.
Yeah.
Having Scottish lineage.
Mm.
He, you know, would be more likely because he's a couple of years older.
Yeah.
I think he's very in that Maitland column of someone who's a good Super Rugby player, but is never going to be good enough to be a starter for the All Blacks.
No, I agree. I think he could come over and do a good job. I mean, I don't think he'd force like Hogg out of the team or even Maitland at the moment, but
no.
He'd be a pretty decent guy to have in a squad.
Yeah.
And cover like the whole back three.
Because the thing is, the other one's Finlay Christie. But yeah, there's just no need for him at the moment in the squad.
We don't need him scrum house right now.
Exactly.
No, not at all. I think ultimately it's probably going to be Kyle Steyn. Feels like the man
who's
the most form and can cover a couple of positions.
Well, then, if that's the case, then I don't really actually understand why he's left open this spot. Like,
that's true.
Who's he competing against? What's that?
Well, why don't you just name 40 people and be like, it's not the final squad. Like, we'll change.
Dawson's like, wait, give me a couple more days.
Dawson's not been seen in Scotland for like a month.
Exactly.
Wire 100k to my Westpac bank account.
I suppose other bigger talking points, Rory Hutchison, probably the most talked about uncapped Scottish player in a long time after his form for Northampton. Finally given a shot in a Scotland squad. You excited to see him in there?
Yeah, I want to see him given a shot. I mean, he could sort of play like 12, 13, and even 10 at a push. I think he's probably being considered as a 13.
Do you think it's more likely that Rory Hutchison starts ahead of Hugh Jones than Sam Johnson?
On current form? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
It'd be interesting to see whether Hugh Jones, and we'll come back to it later, but he's just not been playing many games.
No.
He's obviously been injured, but even in that, for the last game of the season, you know, Kyle Steyn was picked ahead of a fit Hugh Jones.
Yeah.
So
Jones does have that pedigree, doesn't he? Of like playing well in most of his test matches.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't see a world in where a fit Hugh Jones doesn't go to Japan.
No.
But then you put someone like Hutchison on the bench and you've got like an exciting guy to come on who can cover a lot of positions and he can kick goals as well.
Yes.
So he like offers a lot as, you know, a starter and just an overall like good World Cup squad player.
Yes, I think he'll get, you know, he's someone who'll probably get a minimum of two games during the.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, yeah.
And I think when like there's not that many question marks over the centres at the moment, in terms of like, you know, 13 maybe, but you're pretty happy with who you've got.
Yeah, the question mark is only can you get Duncan Taylor fit enough to string together like 3 or 4 games.
Yeah.
Because he still hasn't come back for Saracens yet. I think this week they were saying he's back training full contact with Saracens.
Like, yes. The thing is, I don't think, even if he's back fit, he's probably not going to start for Saracens.
No, probably not.
But yes, everyone's praying for that Dunkey Taylor just like run of form. I don't know, it'll be interesting because I think I still think that Pion will definitely go just because he covers that. He's that third 10.
Yeah, I do think he will.
And I think that's been answered by the fact that Duncan Weir is not even in this wider squad. He thinks he's got 10 covered.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Definitely.
So then you're already got sort of a position out, and you're right, I think Hugh Jones is definitely going. I think Sam Johnson's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's potentially it's probably one more. It's probably Gregor Hutchison at the end of the day.
Well, and then Chris Harris is considered a sort of 13 slash winger.
Yeah.
Chris Harris can't go.
I don't understand
Tooney loves
his
him.
Constant selection, personally.
He just can cover. It just means you get that extra maybe forward sub, which can make a big difference.
Yeah. But then I just think that you look across that back line and like there's players who can cover loads of positions. Like Blair Kinghorn could play like back three and even 10 at a push. Like
this is our big push to get Kinghorn in the centres.
At 12. Yeah. Yeah, that's what we're coming
Kinghorn
to.
At 12 is the new Hoggy at 10.
Yeah, exactly.
We need him there.
Yeah.
What about in the forwards? Were there any sort of...
I mean, Blade Thompson.
Blade Thompson's
I don't know if it's controversial.
Exciting one.
It's very exciting. Obviously, haven't seen him play since the night before that really the Doddy Weir Cup at the Millennium Stadium when there was that strange Scarlets Edinburgh game.
Yeah, yeah.
And he got a really bad concussion for 6 or 7 months. So I'm extremely interested in him. I don't know, but if you
I think that's the right row.
That's
the right word. It's just be interested to see him play and see what he can do. I think he's been topped up. I think he's got a lot of utility value once again that he can play in second
row. You talk
about
taking, what, five back rows? Barkley, Watson, absolutely nailed on two. Mm. I mean,
Wilson will go.
Wilson will definitely go. Yeah. Bradbury, you would say the shirts, one of the shirts is his off the back of that Calcutta Cup performance. And then can you drop Jamie Ritchie? What's Jamie Ritchie done to not go on that tour?
Just not John Barkley.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing. Even Bradbury might not start in that back row.
Yeah, and then that's not even
going to go. But
that's not even bringing into the conversation Matt Ferguson, who's come into quite a nice bit of form towards the tail end of the season for Glasgow.
Yeah, and especially you know, Matt Ferguson is probably going to start semi-final and final for sure.
Yeah,
you know, if he has a big game in those games, like kind of feel like you got to take that forward.
And then you think about how do you factor in a Sam Skinner as well. He goes as your second row. Yeah,
yeah, that's the thing. He's got that utility value.
I think we're beginning to touch on it. Getting this 42 to 31 is going to be quite brutal in certain positions.
Do you have to take 31?
31
is there a limit?
31 is the max.
Yeah,
and then there'll be tons of lads on holiday in Kyoto.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't know why I didn't just go
wandering around Kyoto.
There's going to be a couple of quite big names, I think, falling
by the wayside.
Yeah.
Which maybe happens all the time, but...
Props are pretty easy. Hookers are easy, considering if George Turner overcomes
I think Stewart will drop out.
Grant Stewart drops out of that quite easily. Second rows will be...
The thing is, though, is Grant Stewart has to be ready to go. 100% one of those hookers is going down.
Yeah, exactly.
They're
made of glass.
No chance all three of those hookers are getting through the World Cup.
No.
There is a high chance that two of them could easily go down.
I reckon you might go Fraser Brown to start against Ireland in the first game just to bring that extra bit of abrasion, and he just like runs head first into somebody's face.
Yeah.
Concussion, out for the rest of the tournament. Yeah. Here we go. I don't know, Grant Stewart, and then beyond that,
Jake Kerr.
I suppose we've got okay lads
can't
that can
wait
fill in.
Until they light the flames and Ross Ford fly straight into Osaka.
Yeah.
Light the beacons all the way from Japan to Kelso.
It's going to be really extremely.
And then obviously they have left the spot open for Richie Gray.
Yes.
Which is another interesting one.
Or Scott Cummings.
And Scott Cummings, who's been on very good form for Glasgow.
Tim Swinson's not in that either. And like he.
I think Swinner's probably done at Scotland level.
But I mean, he can play five or six is the would
he's
be his
sort,
USP.
What Swinner's done is gotten smart and become the chairman of the Scottish Rugby Players Association. So he gets to go to Japan either way. He's got his tickets sorted.
Yeah,
that is true.
So he can, you know, he can have his boots. He'll take his boots while doing official functioning.
Yes.
But then he becomes the easiest sub possible for the second row. He's already in town.
I think you've absolutely nailed it, to be fair.
Well done to Swinner. I don't know how you get that down to 31.
Who's definitely not going to go in that group? I mean, you're not going to take four scrum halves, are you?
No. Pergos is so
going to. Pergos drops out, surely.
Pergos drops out. Grant Stewart drops out. I think Gordy Reid drops out.
I don't know. He quite likes Gordy Reid.
The back line beyond that, it's really hard to kick someone out of.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like... Maybe we talk through systematically. So what say you let's say we need to cut 3 to 4 backs out. Henry Purgus is a def. I think you can cut out Chris Harris relatively easily.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I think on the back,
Nick Grigg.
I think Nick Grigg goes either Nick Grigg or Rory Hutchinson, depending on how well Rory Hutchinson plays.
Much rather take Hutchinson than Grigg.
And then I think in the back three,
McGuigan's probably
feels like McGuigan's
drops out.
Townsend's a big fan of McGuigan though.
But I think because Blair Kinghorn can cover 14 and 15, winger and 15.
Yeah, so can Byron McGuigan.
But then I think
so can Darcy
the,
Graham.
The value of McGuigan is lost because Kinghorn and Graham can both do that anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it also depends on... I mean, Kinghorn's been out for ages. Like, he's
still injured. I mean, he had surgery like a month ago.
I don't know. If he like goes to that training squad and just doesn't look fit, then I wouldn't be surprised if Townsend just says, no, I'm sticking with McGuigan.
Interesting.
Which I would probably disagree with, but
yeah,
could see happening.
Interesting. Tommy Seymour is like, I think I need to get back into form just to make sure that I get in this squad. And then like last month, he's been like, I'm scoring tries again, guys, so this is fine.
Yeah,
yeah. He just needs a wee rest. He'll be fine. It's like Hugh Jones. I reckon Hugh Jones will go Bahamas. Maybe he won't get picked for Glasgow. He'll go Bahamas for a month, then just come into camp. Fully chilled, ready to go.
I think Hugh Jones needs one more. He's done Dubai and Bahamas. He's Mauritius just to get like...
just needs one more holiday to get himself to fully charged.
Yeah.
He's just acclimatizing. It's going to be like similar, you know, humidity in Japan. Actually, so
that's really... Maybe that's the thing we've missed. All of these holidays, he's found like the sort of the perfect climate that's the same as Japan.
He's got a trainer who's like, you have to go to these places, mate.
I didn't think about it that. How smart. Well, we will keep a very close eye on the permutations of the Scotland squad as we move into the summer camp. They're off to Portugal for a week, Portugal. I believe. And then I think the first game is against France. End of July?
I'd have to check, but I think you're right.
I think it's...
Is it France double bill against Georgia and then France again?
No, it's. I think they're blocked home and away, home and away.
Interesting. I think... that Greg Townsend said that he wanted to play a full, potentially play a full strength side against France at some point.
Interesting.
Mm.
Well, I accidentally cancelled my direct debit to the SRU, so lost my season tickets.
Did
so,
you?
Yeah.
Oh, mate.
I'd like to say it was a principled stance over price after we talked about it on the pod, but I just forgot.
That's fair.
I was tidying up my direct debits and I cancelled it and then missed the email, so...
Who tidies up the diet?
I know.
Nerd.
What a weird thing to do.
I'm you know, financially prudent.
A loser. We didn't mention as well in the news that two Scots came away with silverware at the weekend.
Yes.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Maitland on Saturday and Greg Laidlaw on the Friday night.
That is true. And Laidlaw came on
perfectly. After like 25 minutes or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just sort of stood behind the big pack and gave it to like Fritz Lee, and then just at the end of each one he's like, yeah, give me the ball, and then just like knocks over the conversion.
Yeah.
So Maitland's try, well, it's a bit of a run in, but
I thought he ran it pretty well.
In that system he's just like, I know what I need to do and I can do it very well.
Well, it's kind of like
playing for the Crusaders.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
So we done on the Scotland squad?
Yeah, I think so.
Congrats then. Well,
I think when you compare it to the opening squad from 4 years ago, it feels like it is of the average is higher. Although saying that Barkley didn't get into the squad.
I know.
I know. I think you're right. I think we have moved on in 4 years, but have we moved on as much as Wales or Ireland or, you know, any other of our sort of competitors?
That's the thing.
Like, I think we can all, it's kind of the thing with Scotland. We can definitely say you've gotten better, but
yeah, so has everyone else.
Everybody else has done it.
Apart from France.
Apart from France. He, well, still managed to beat us, didn't
he? Do you want to do your quiz now, then, after the squad selection?
Yeah, we probably should.
Yeah.
Let's do the quiz, and then we'll finish off previewing Glasgow Ulster, the only actual game of rugby that we're looking forward to.
All right. So, you're going to do World Cup squad quiz, specifically looking at 2019, the 40-man squad, and then the final 2015, 2011, and 2007 squads.
Okay.
This just sounds like it's going to be really too complicated for me.
Which non-Scottish clubs, and there's two that are equal first, have given the most players to the Scotland World Cup squads?
Or ever?
Over the, those la- over
non-Scottish
the last
clubs.
Yeah.
And I'm, for example, if a player goes twice,
yeah,
counting that as two.
Sorry, non-Scottish club. Yeah.
Non-Scottish club. Two clubs on equal seven.
Interesting.
Seven?
Over the last four squads.
That's quite a lot, isn't it?
Hmm.
I'm just going to write down two clubs and, you know.
I've got one I'm pretty certain about, and then the other. Hmm.
Well, how about, Dave, what's one of your clubs?
Toulouse. I don't know why.
What are you talking
Richie
about?
Gray.
Richie Gray isn't even in the squad, mate.
Oh yeah, shit. She has been previously.
Toulouse actually have zero players.
Oh well, that's good then.
I had Newcastle.
Newcastle is one.
I wrote down Newcastle seven. And then deleted it for some reason.
No joke. Give us a clue on the other one.
England.
Gloucester.
Boom.
Oh, nice.
One
mate.
All.
Nice.
There you go.
Just needed that little... I just needed to get myself that get Toulouse out of my mind and then I can concentrate.
That is fair.
That famous hotbed of Scottish rugby. Toulouse.
So, hotbed of Richie Gray.
Yeah.
Over the last... So none from Gloucester in the current World Cup squad.
Yeah. No.
But in the last three, there's been six players who have come.
Okay. Do we need to name them?
That it was my question. Hanny, we'll start with you.
Strokosh.
Strokosh is correct. Like 2011.
I had him. Didn't spell him correctly. Jim Hamilton.
Jim Hamilton is correct. 2011. Sorry.
Al Dickinson.
Oh, nice.
Al Dickinson has played for Gloucester.
Oh, was he not?
But not whilst the World Cup squad.
I'm really gutted by that. Right, well, I think I have them all then.
Greig Laidlaw?
Greig Laidlaw is correct. I have just realised that I actually got the first question incorrect. Newcastle is wrong, just as an FYI.
Well, it's already happened.
It's Sale Sharks.
It's
Sale?
Yeah, it's Sale Sharks.
Okay,
so another hotbed of Richie Gray?
Yeah.
Exactly. But
we're going to let you keep the point.
Okay,
anyway.
Okay, thank you, mate.
I mean, I was so wrong, to be fair.
Who did you say?
You said Laidlaw, didn't you?
I said Laidlaw. Yeah.
Laidlaw is correct.
Rory Lawson.
Rory Lawson is correct and went twice.
Yep. You got another one.
I mean, I had Matt Scott written down, but I don't think it's right.
Matt Scott's not correct.
Scott Lawson.
Scott Lawson is correct.
Is that all of them then?
Wait, you're missing one.
So yeah,
you said Laidlaw,
so.
Scott Lawson, Jim Hamilton, Strokosh, and Roy Lawson.
Position?
2007. Fullback.
Patterson.
Chris Patterson.
Oh, of course, he
I thought it was
there
that
for a
but
wee
I wasn't,
bit. Yeah,
he was only there for a season.
Yeah,
yes. No, 2007. He's playing at Gloucester when he got called up.
Didn't play an awful lot for Gloucester in that season either, did he?
Well, I think
he was in his Scotland pomp at that time.
Well, he talked about it on the Scotland Rugby Pod, saying that I think he came. Did he come straight from the World Cup? Well, he couldn't have. But he basically said he didn't get a pre-season at all.
Yes.
That was
yeah.
his issue, but.
So he says.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to name you clubs who have added one player to World Cup squads. And I want to tell me who that player is.
Nice.
Okay.
Okay.
Stade Francais.
Hugo Saitwell.
We'll go through and come back.
Okay.
Oh, I thought we were on the buzzer. Sorry about that.
So
sorry about being so quick.
Stade Francais.
Okay. Yep.
Leicester Tigers. Cardiff Blues.
Yep.
Montauban.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I've just written letters for the last three.
Toulon. And finally, Ospreys.
Okay. What was the second one again? It was
Leicester Tigers.
Leicester.
So Stade Francais, Leicester Tigers, Cardiff Blues, Montauban, Toulon, and Ospreys.
Okay.
So to kick things off, Dave, Stade Francais.
Is it Hugo Southwell?
It is not.
Oh,
I said Simon Taylor.
Simon Taylor is correct. 2007 was called up.
That's a luxury answer. Well done.
Leicester Tigers?
That's tough. I've said Jim Hamilton, Dave? But I think it's wrong.
I wrote pass.
Jim Hamilton is correct.
Is it?
Nice.
Because he played at Leicester Tigers till 2008. And he
went to 07. Very good.
Dave, you'll get this one. This is an easy one. Cardiff Blues.
I didn't get this.
This is easy because it's so weird. Yeah. Dan Parks.
Dan Parks.
Oh, Christ, of course, Parksy.
There is no chance that Dave's getting Montauban, but I feel like Hanny's got it.
I think it's Scott Murray.
Scott Murray is correct.
Really great. Well done. I'm happy not to know that, actually.
Yeah, it's not a good thing that I know that, to be honest.
Toulon?
Rory Lamont.
Annie?
I go in for the same.
Rory Lamont is correct.
Nice.
And then the final one, you're going for a 6 out of 6 here, Ospreys.
Did you get it, Steve?
No.
Nicky Walker.
Nicky Walker.
Such a... Now that I say it, I'm like, of course he played for them. The Springbok killer.
They're just such like... Scottish players playing abroad is so niche and random. Yeah,
but it used to be so strange.
Well, I think that was the time when it was really odd.
Yeah, really, really odd.
And it must have been when Danielli was at Ulster.
Yeah, so Danielli was at Ulster.
Sean Lamont was at Scarlets?
And Northampton before
that. Northampton before that, yeah.
Yeah, Sean Lamont. So if you look at the 2011 squad, so as we were chatting before the pod, so in the squad this time, I think it's 29% of the players are outside of Scotland. 4 years ago, it was 22%. But actually, if you look at 2011 and 2007, it was around 50% of the squad.
That was the final 30s, though.
50.
Like the final 30 man.
That was the final 30. So in 2011, you had like Dickinson, Ewan Murray, Scott Lawson and Jim Hamilton at Gloucester, Hines at Clermont, Richie Vernon at Sale, Max Evans at Castra, Ansborough at London Irish. Like,
how many players have Clermont given to World Cup squads?
Clermont are given 2.
What, White and Hines?
White hasn't come across when he was at
Who's Clermont. The other one, then?
Laidlaw, because he's in the current squad.
Oh, I see. It includes the current squad.
Yeah, Perpignan are given 3.
Cusseter, Hines,
Strokosh. And then actually, Scarlets have given 3, but not one of them is obviously Barkley. But I think I'm picking up. Might be picking up Sean
Lamont
twice. And Scott McLeod in 2007.
Oh yeah,
of course, yeah.
It's a random signing.
Yeah. Oh, and Blade Thompson.
Yeah.
So. No, it's quite interesting. It's interesting that it's gone down, because I think the narrative is a little bit like it's been going up, maybe. But actually, when you look back at that 07 in 2011, and you've got quite a bulk of... Especially forwards.
I think what has gone up is the bolts out of the blue. Christ, I didn't know you were Scottish. Appearances in squads.
Yeah.
I did have one unattached...
Don't know who that is.
John Hardy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
didn't have a club,
did he?
Oh, yeah. When he got signed.
Yeah, interesting.
Who was Hugh Blake attached to?
Hugh Blake.
Well, he didn't get in the final squad.
Oh, he didn't get in the final squad. But he got into the this level.
Well, yeah,
squad.
He played against Ireland.
So in this game,
Italy maybe.
If we're including this squad, I don't know.
Was he Bay of Plenty?
Yes.
Would have been at the time.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe. Oh, Chug Blake.
Chug Blake.
Who knows?
To be fair, I follow him on Instagram, and he looks to be having a great life.
Is he back in New Zealand?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, good for him. Good for him. Don't hold anything against him. That was good. That was actually a really good quiz. I'm sorry I was so poor.
It's quite funny. That's
to be expected. It was one of those things, you know, when you know something's wrong in your head and it's just swilling around in there. And I'm like, I can't.
You're like, I'm never going to get it.
I can't get past it.
Yeah. I do like the fact that the only quiz of the year that you've won is the Ross Ford special.
But it's what I was saying before you. I was like, if you give me one area that I can really hone in on, you can always guess things. Cause you're like, what is Ross Ford's win percentage? Like, yeah. I can play the games on that. I'm not going to go back through the 2007 Montauban squad in my mind that Matt's got on like his wall, you know? That's it, Montauban Ultra. So weird. Anyway, should we talk some Scottish rugby?
Yeah,
should we talk about the biggest game
of the season?
Of the season so far, well, Glasgow maybe. Ulster, Friday night, sold out. Extended Scotstoun of 10,000 people. I suppose the only news, let's kick it off with this. Tinfoil hats on, ladies and gents. There is a 4 Irish referee panel reffing this game on Friday night. What the hell? I mean,
can you not someone look at that and just go, this looks really bad?
He's like, literally just like, why though?
There is no conspiracy for like Irish refs to, you know, referee against Scottish teams, or for them to get into the upper echelons of rugby refereeing so that Ireland can win games. But that is literally so stupid.
We need AC12 on this. Bent refs. AC12 coming in, sorting this out.
Who is H? Is there an H in there? I don't know if there is.
Hansi. No, not quite. starting out.
But the thing is, I think Mike Adamson is in charge of the Leinster Munster game. What the hell's Nigel Owens doing?
Yeah, exactly. Where are all the Welsh refs?
Just ship them up to Glasgow.
What are they doing?
All the Welsh refs are refereeing the Scarlets Osprey match.
Oh.
But why don't you just swap them round?
Why not?
Why don't you just swap them round?
Well, on Pro 14, proper league.
Yeah, I know.
The TMO is called Ollie Hodges. He is H.
He could be H.
He could be H. He's oh, so my bad. Word.
Is this something from Line of Duty, but like seasons?
Oh, yeah, you've only seen season 3. Season 3.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I can tell you.
I mean, it's not really a spoiler. Face.
Okay.
Yeah.
Could be a spoiler. right, well, let's look at this. Glasgow have not played a game in a couple of weeks. They're going to be coming in ice cold, much like they did against Scarlets last week. Do you think they can go the mile, secure that Glasgow final?
I think they're in a far better place than they were coming into the semi last year.
Yeah.
It seemed like they weren't on a good run of form. They'd really like tailed off after that incredible start. I think, you know, they're at home, as you say, that like extended, packed out crowd. Been playing well in the last few weeks. They've got that like that intensity that's maybe been missing for the middle part of the season. Absolutely pumped Edinburgh. Like, they should be the favourites.
It's been weird because obviously Glasgow were doing really well up until December and then lost back-to-back-to-back from Edinburgh, Benetton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then haven't lost a Pro 14 game since then, obviously Saracens being the one.
Yeah, yeah.
Namer, but I don't know, it feels like the game last year is obviously going to help because it's like, from the way sort of Dave Rennie's talking, they're keeping them very focused on this game.
Yeah.
And obviously, it sounds like they were trying to get a game for them to play.
Yeah.
But that never really came to fruition, or at least it's not been publicly.
But the time has helped out a couple of people. Callum Gibbons looks like he's coming back. He took a head knock. And DTH Van der Merwe might be back.
Yeah, I think that was
they thought he was
surprise.
Out for the season, yeah.
The thing is, I don't know if I'd actually really change that Glasgow team that much.
No.
You know, particularly against Edinburgh, Gibbons put in that match, didn't he?
Yeah, that was when he got his head. You would start Gibbons.
Yeah, you probably would start Gibbons, to be fair. But, TCH, like, I think the other guy's done pretty well.
Yeah.
Matawalu's actually been on really good form, to be fair to him.
Matawalu was starting in the wing. I feel like you bring in DTH ahead of Matawalu and just
put Nico
on the bench.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, to close out the tight match?
Well, I guess the thing with Nico is,
He's
either going to win it for you or
savagely lose it.
Exactly, yeah.
It's interesting, though. I guess I feel bad for Thomas Gordon. Gets one cap, gets MOM, and I could generally see him being the sort of player that will like never play for Glasgow ever again.
Well, I think he'll play for Glasgow again. Just
never going to happen.
I don't think he might not get a sniff for these two like, bigger matches.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm worried about is that I feel like Ulster are on sort of an upward trajectory in terms of their season. So I think they played really well against Leinster in that Champions Cup quarter.
Yes. They lost by like 2 points?
Yeah, yeah. And 3 points. By all, like, if Stockdale hadn't dropped the ball over the line, like, they could have beaten them. And I just kind of feel like they've got players like Rory Best and Stockdale who just have that, like, I think coming from Ireland, like, that experience of, like, winning, like, maybe bigger matches, or just putting in, like, those really, really big performances that could make the difference. That's my only concern.
I know what I do know what you mean. I would, and I agree that actually their game against Leinster, they could and potentially should have won that game. However, Glasgow did play them the week after and pump them 30-7 with not a particularly weakened squad.
The Leinster team.
The Ulster team.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah, that, yeah.
But you're right. So, for example, Ulster are going to have probably Rory Best, Ian Henderson, Jordy Murphy, Marcel Kutsia, who are all very experienced and all very good.
Yeah, they're just big game players.
Yeah, and like they're going to be pretty savage at the breakdown.
Yep.
So I think you said people like Matt Ferguson, Callum Gibbons.
Yeah.
It's a lot on them just to make. Because I think in the back line, I feel like we do have a stronger
team. Yeah, I think so. We've got better halfbacks.
Yeah.
Probably better centres. And then it's got Hogg.
Do you bring in Hugh Jones?
I don't know. I mean, the thing is...
Has Hugh Jones ever had a particularly good game for Glasgow?
He's had hints of a good game.
Never in, like, a big match, though.
Well, he hasn't looked back and be like, Hugh Jones has been the difference.
He's never really had a run of games to kind of
get
form.
And I don't think he didn't play in that Scarlets game last year. It was Greg, I think. I'm pretty sure it was. So it's kind of guy with that quality that maybe you do put in and just hope that he does do that, like, you know, a bit of a game-changing play or...
And I just wonder, you got McCluskey and, like, Stockdale coming off his wing and Darren Cave, you're just like, they're just going to run... They've not actually got a particularly wide range of skills.
Mm.
They're just very hard and strong runners. Yeah. It's just like, Kyle Steyn, you're pretty big and can you just... hold that line the whole time.
Yeah.
And you know what? He's been... It just would be harsh to drop him because he's not done anything to deserve to be dropped.
Or send in Nick Grigg, tackle him around the ankles like he did for Scotland against Bastero.
Is Grigg back?
I don't actually know if he's fit.
I also have no idea. I was just throwing a name in the mix.
Just throwing a name in the mix.
Him and Nick Frisby are like really good mates. They put up some quite funny stuff on Instagram. They call themselves the Knicks, quite like uninspiringly, but it's quite funny. Oh.
Mate, bumper year for the Malcolm Group. Which just goes to show what hiring Nick Frisby does.
Having Nick Frisby in there.
Mate, that's why Walter, the Malcolm family is worth £121 million.
How much of that is down to Nick Frisby?
Well, exactly. I heard they were just scraping around on like 100 last year. Now they're up to 121.
The productivity gains of having Nick Frisby in as a shift worker has really made a big difference. Wow.
Yeah, it's hard to tell if you know, it feels like...
So the bookies have it 3-10 for Glasgow to win.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they're essentially saying, oh, four times Glasgow should win three.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think that's about fair.
Which I think is fair at home. I mean, there is just that additional motivation of playing the final in Glasgow.
Yeah.
Which... Playing at Celtic Park for Glasgow in front of potentially 60,000 people
is
pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Do you see they've been shipping? Somehow they've got Kenny Dalglishan.
Yeah, I saw that. Kenny was there.
And then I saw that the offside line reported that story. And you know they have a little comments bit.
Yeah.
They disabled the comments just for the Kenny Dalglishan article.
Oh, really?
I was like,
yeah.
What are people going to say? Like, how's that going to like drum up like cybernats? I don't really understand. But,
I don't know.
Yeah.
What's King Kenny ever done?
Exactly.
He's pretty popular, isn't he?
Yeah, won a lot of stuff for Celtic. I imagine there's a Rangers fan, that's probably true.
Yeah.
Is the same overlap like in rugby? Maybe.
Probably.
What do you think? Do you think your average like hardcore Rangers fan reads the offside line?
I bet we're reading way too much into it and they actually just forgot to turn on comments.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I think if we can avoid, you know, getting into discussions of sectarianism in sport in Scotland, we'll be doing well tonight.
Kenny Dalglish is a big name.
He's a massive name.
Yeah.
To get out, and actually that's pretty good PR.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Especially in Glasgow to get people who might not normally be interested in it.
Yeah.
To kind of just be aware of that match.
Yeah, completely agree.
Well, sadly, we're kind of hoping Glasgow, obviously hoping Glasgow get in, but kind of sad that none of us are all going to be able to make it.
Yeah, I know.
But also hoping that there's good Wi-Fi at this wedding we're going to.
Man, we need a booster.
We're going to have to take a booster.
Little booster thing. We'll take it along.
Deepest,
fine.
Darkest Norfolk. We're there's going to be bad Wi-Fi down there, isn't there?
I mean, I don't think it's going to be bad Wi-Fi. There will be no Wi-Fi.
Shit.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to think about
that.
What's your prediction?
Relatively confident, actually, about this game. I think Ulster are a team that I think Glasgow, over the last few years, have actually had the upper hand against.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that Leinster game was actually being behind in Leinster and coming back to win and not even giving them a bonus point.
And they hadn't lost at the RDS for like a year?
Yeah.
Longer?
I think it's a pretty massive statement. And then to follow that up with what was essentially a pumping of Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're right. I just wish it was 2 weeks rather than 3 weeks.
Yeah, the gap is just...
That does seem like
to just soften up,
bad scheduling. I understand there's conflicts and everything, but...
But I do... So my worry is, how long is it going to take Glasgow to kind of get into the swing of things? Because one of the issues with the Scarlets game last year was literally it took them too long. After about 20 minutes, they were 13-0 down.
Yeah.
And you just ended up chasing the game.
Yeah, making mistakes.
And that's your fear, that you just come out a bit off the boil, a bit soft, end up 10 points down.
Yeah, and Ulster are going to be really up for it.
Yeah, and then Price and Hastings start chasing the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but no, I'm confidently backing a plus 10 win for Glasgow.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I'd be really disappointed. It'd be one of those matches that if they lose, I'd be really disappointed because they have been playing well and they put themselves in such a good position to at least get to the final. I think they'll win. I think it'll be close though. I think they'll win by 7 or 8. Not too dissimilar.
Yeah.
Yes.
What do you reckon?
I think they will win. I'm feeling good about it.
Although, it'd be really nice if they win.
It would be nice. I just think it feels like, you know, sometimes there's like narratives in sport. A Glasgow final, it feels like a moment. I can just hear the minds of newspaper columnists getting excited about writing about how Glasgow is now a rugby town and they can be proud of it all and things like that. It's going to be very exciting. Tom English will write a belting article if Glasgow gets to a Glaswegian final.
Yeah, he will.
So yeah, I think it's going to happen. Mm. It's going to happen.
Well, fingers crossed.
Absolutely. And we will be back, win or lose, next weekend to talk about that.
Hopefully it won't be the last episode before the end of the regular season.
Yeah.
Could be the last episode, could be the...
We've still got to do a sort of review of the year pod at some point.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I suppose that could be next week if Glasgow are out there.
That's
to talk about.
That's what I mean.
Before we come back for the summer specials and then rolling into the... One pod a day during the World Cup, reporting all the news from Japan.
Every day.
One pod a day?
Yeah, the breakfast special all the way through.
Oh, my word.
For a whole month.
Jesus Christ.
Probably not, but, you know, we could do it.
There's enough demand.
I reckon we do 2 a week during the World Cup.
2 a week?
Yeah.
This is good. This has turned into a production meeting on air.
Yeah, I know.
Which is good. So with that, we will say goodbye.
See ya.
Cheers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.